talk hard and enjoy the Mindgasm. The intellectual podcast starts now.
That's right. The intellectual podcast starts right now. I'm your host, David S. Dawson. Thanks for joining me. If you're joining us on the podcast, if you're joining us on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, for those of you who are still using Twitter, welcome. This is another one of those kind of impulsive podcast episodes. No real plans for it. I was just sitting around and I thought, you know, I hopped on to the podcast at the beginning of January and gave everybody kind of a lowdown on the lowdown of things that I'm going through health-wise. And I thought, maybe I should do that at the top of every month going forward. So here I am, having a discussion with myself, essentially. Hopefully with some of you, if you join me. Obviously, this is an unannounced and unplanned live stream, so nobody has joined us yet from what I can see, and that's okay. That's okay, because I know a lot of our listeners catch us on the replays, and that's totally fine. You tune in to the intellectual in whatever manner works for you, and I'm okay with that. Yes, indeed. So here's the update. So at the beginning of January, I told everybody that, you know, I've been diagnosed with liver cirrhosis. That will never go away. So I'm definitely coping with that diagnosis still emotionally. And my mother's birthday is tomorrow, actually. She would have been 68. She died at 61 due to complications of pneumonia as a result of long-term battle with liver cirrhosis. So it's really real for me this weekend, and so it's actually probably a good idea that I'm doing this podcast today, just to kind of fill in. And again, I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to post any comments or questions for me, if you're following us on YouTube or Facebook, either one, and I think even on Twitter, you can just post a comment into the comments of this video. And I should be able to see that here while we're doing this live stream, and I can answer you live during the show. So anyway, I'm coping with the emotional fallout of my liver cirrhosis diagnosis, especially with the complications that that brings emotionally because of how my mom passed on. And you know, it's one of those things. The only thing I can do is lose weight. I mean, that is literally the only thing I can do to try and combat this liver cirrhosis is lose weight. And not a little bit of weight, like a lot of weight. We're talking from the time that I suspected that this might be a problem to the end goal. We're looking at a minimum, I need to lose 80 or 90 pounds at the high end. You know, optimally, we'd be looking at me losing something like 120 to 140 pounds from where I started. So way back in October, I was weighing in right around 320 to 325. And, you know, I started cutting back on things and maintaining a healthy diet as opposed to eating out all the time. I'm trying to eat in more, trying to, you know, rein that stuff in. But the further complication on top of everything was I also was diagnosed through blood tests while trying to figure out what's going on with my liver. We discovered I had the antibodies for celiac disease, which the only way to confirm the celiac disease diagnosis is to actually have an endoscopy where they come in through the mouth, they go down, they scope through your stomach, and they scope into your intestines, and they take a good look at the intestines, and they take biopsies. And I couldn't get that procedure done until January. So from October to January, even though we suspected I had celiac disease, I had to continue eating gluten. And for celiac sufferers, you're gluten intolerant. And what that means is the gluten actually aggravates and essentially destroys the villi in your intestines. And the villi are the kind of like little hair-like structures along the walls of your intestines that absorb nutrients. And So the more gluten you eat, the more damage is done to those villi, and eventually your intestines are not effectively absorbing nutrients. And so no matter how much you're eating, you still feel like you're starving. And so you eat more and more, and it becomes this kind of vicious cycle of eating too much because you're not effectively absorbing nutrients. So you get a distended belly, your intestines are loaded full of food, and it creates all sorts of problems, diarrhea and gassiness and bloating and a whole bunch of stuff. So from October to January, even though I suspected I had celiac disease, I couldn't take the effective measures of removing gluten from my diet, because the only way to officially confirm that I have it is to go in, do the biopsy, and get the accurate measurement that damage is being done to the intestines. So for the last few months, I was still eating gluten. But at the beginning of January, about a week after I did that update, they did an endoscopy on me, and I have all the signs of celiac disease. They did a biopsy on my intestine, and we got the confirmation of that last week. I do, in fact, have celiac disease. So on top of the liver cirrhosis, I now know that I also have celiac disease, which has probably caused a number of other health issues with me. And it's good that I know. Obviously, at the beginning of January, when I came on and did the podcast, I wasn't watching back and listening to that episode. You could tell that I was kind of like drained and emotionally crushed, and that's okay. It's okay to feel the way you feel when you're handed diagnoses of things that concern you, that trouble you, that worry you. You should absolutely feel the things that you feel, and you should express them, and you should never bottle that sort of stuff up. And in reaching out to the audience and sharing the things that I shared at the beginning of January, I came to discover I'm not the only person in my circle of friends who is battling these kinds of invisible health issues, things that greatly affect our lives but don't necessarily have an outward effect. You know, people don't necessarily see what's going on with us just by looking at us. They can't tell that we've got something serious going on. So it was good to reach out on the podcast and then have people reach back to me. And I got a lot of comments from people who were saying, you know, I'm going through something similar, and it was so great to hear you talk about what you're going through. I don't feel alone. And that really is what it is. Like, you feel very alone when you get a medical diagnosis, right? Like, oftentimes it's you and your doctor, and your doctor's your partner, but your doctor's not your friend. He's not your family, you know? So you walk out of the office and it's like, oh, what do I do with this now? And who do I talk to about it? And how do I handle this? And especially if it's something like my liver cirrhosis, you know, that affects my family, it affects my sisters, especially, who were on that whole journey with my mom, and to have to give them that update that, hey, you know, your older brother is suffering from the same thing that ultimately took our mother. And so I think it's just really important that we establish our emotional center on these things, and that we are honest and true to ourselves about how we feel. And I am a firm believer that you should never keep that stuff bottled up. You should always speak your truth, share your truth, because in doing so, you release that tension, that hold that has, the power that it has over you, by sharing it. And in the act of sharing, you may also help others find an avenue for sharing their own journey. And in that way, you're helping other people as well. So here I am sharing away. It is what I do. And as I said at the beginning of January, I wanted to make sure that the intellectual is an avenue for me to continue to share the journey that I'm on and all the things that I'm going through. So here's the update. Celiac disease confirmed. Liver cirrhosis is confirmed. I started on Ozempic in December. Now, Ozempic is kind of all over the news right now is this wonder drug for weight loss. And there are people, celebrities and whatnot, who are taking it. I don't want to say recreationally, because you do have to have a prescription, but they're taking it strictly for weight loss. It's really a drug that was developed for the diabetes sufferers, and I am a type 2 diabetic, although very mildly. But I did get approved for Ozempic, and so I started Ozempic in December. And what Ozempic does is it regulates the full hormone. I think it's GLP-1, I think is what it is. I'll try and get better on all the specifics of it, but basically regulates the full hormone, so you feel full faster. And I actually started taking that I want to say right before Thanksgiving, maybe. I don't know. I've been on it about 2 months now. And you start off on a very low dose, and they kind of build you up over the course of time. So I've actually only been on like a full dose of it now for 2 weeks. But what's going on with that has been dramatic, because even before removing the gluten from my diet, which is going to help me feel full faster, because my body will be absorbing nutrients from the food more efficiently, which then the intestines will signal the body that, hey, he's getting what he needs, he's full. But this Ozempic, even before I stopped the gluten, has started doing that for me. And I've gone from, I can't get full, which is honestly how I felt for much of the last couple of years. No matter how much I ate, I never felt full. I never felt satiated. No matter how full my belly got, no matter how expanded my stomach would become, and how, you know, densely packed the food was in my digestive system, I just couldn't feel full. Like, I didn't feel full. But starting around late December and certainly into the early part of January, the tide started to turn on that. And the portions of food that I need to eat to feel full has dramatically reduced. And now I'm at a point where, you know, I had a couple of gluten-free pancakes this morning for breakfast, as an example. Two pancakes. And I felt stuffed. So it's good. It's helping me make sure that I don't overeat. It's really doing a wonderful job. And then on top of everything else, like I said, I'm now 3 weeks off of gluten. So that should be getting better as well over the next few weeks. And, I have I also mentioned at the beginning of the month that I had taken a food allergy test, through a blood test. And I am going to go see, at the advice of my registered dietitian, I'm going to go see an allergist, a specialist for allergies, later this month. And we're going to really kind of dive in and see what the allergies might be. Because my registered dietitian said that with the gluten inflammation from the celiac disease, if you do in fact have celiac disease, which I do, the gluten inflammation may be causing a elevated reading of allergic reactions to foods that I may not actually be allergic to. So we'll see what comes of that. By the time I get to see the allergist, I'll have been, you know, a month and a week off of gluten, as best as possible. There may be mild cross contaminations here and there, you know, because my whole family's not necessarily off of gluten, just me. So there is some possibility of some mild cross contamination within my own kitchen. But we're trying to work our way through that, right? And it's a learning process for all of us involved here. But by the time I see the allergist, I should be pretty reasonably further off of the gluten, and hopefully a lot of that inflammation will be gone. or reduced a lot. My registered dietitian, she also suffers from celiac disease, but she told me it'll take a year before my body is kind of like fully healed from the gluten that I had been ingesting over the years. So I'm well into the process. It's moving along, but I wanted to share an image with everybody. Something that I think I'm going to do at the top of every month, just to kind of show the progress. So again, I said I was around 320 or so in October, beginning of November, and I want to be honest about the updates. It has been a slow, steady progression through to the end of the year of losing weight. I lost about 10 pounds over a 2-month period, which is, you know, decent. It's like a pound a week, a little bit over a pound a week. But like I said, the Ozempic really started, I think, to kick in towards the end of December. And the month of January saw a complete loss of 10 pounds from January 1 to January 31. The photo I'm going to share with you covers January 1 to January 28th. Now, it's important to understand, from January 28th to January 31st, I lost an additional 2 pounds. But I want to give you a little kind of before and after photo here for you to look at. And so here it is. If you're joining us on Spotify or YouTube, you can watch this video and you'll be able to see this transformation that has happened. I think it's kind of dramatic. I mean, this is really only a month that you're looking at in these two photos. And I just want to kind of point out kind of the primary changes that I see myself within my face. I mean, obviously, I think if you look at the eyes, that is kind of the biggest place where you can see my eyes are much more lively and open a month later. The puffiness around them has really reduced, and you can see it in my face here alongside these photos. And so even within the context of these photos, you got 309 at the beginning of the month, you got 302 towards the end of the month. I'm currently sitting at 296. So I'm another 6 pounds down here on February 4th from where I was on January 28th. And obviously I shaved the head and I've trimmed up the beard and stuff. I think my motivation for changing my hairstyle was also to not hide behind all that hair. I want to make the transformation as visible as possible for myself, even within the context of these photos. So this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. You know, I think you can see this space here is really starting to trim up. And you can see in my cheeks, in that first photo, there's just a lot more like puffiness, right? And you can see how it kind of pushed up into my eyes and kept my eyes closed a bit more. So I'm taking these photos same time every day. This is like in the morning before I head off to work. So these are the images of me, that I'm doing every single day. I've been doing it, from the start of the year, and I will continue to do it all the way through to the end of this year. And I will continue to share kind of monthly updates of these photos. And then the plan is, you know, at the end of the year to put together a kind of morphing image of my face and how much it changes over time. And, you know, I hope that, in taking this journey and sharing this journey, I hope that it's helpful for anybody out there who's listening, to find some inspiration on their end, to go to the doctor, to see a nutritionist, to take the steps, to take control of your health into your own hands and be an advocate for yourself. I think things like celiac disease are hard to diagnose with a casual encounter with your doctor. Like you kind of have to push for additional testing. You have to push for a greater and deeper dive into your health for yourself. Because, look, so many of the symptoms for celiac disease look like other things. And unless you go into a real deep dive, unless you insist on pushing for tests because you don't think something's right, if you're having a real hard time losing weight, you need to be very honest with your doctor that you are having a hard time losing weight. Now, that's not to say like, oh, you know, doc, I'm not losing weight, but you're not doing anything really to take those steps. You know, that makes it a little more difficult. But in my case, you know, I'm a vegetarian, so I eat fairly healthy, generally speaking, anyway. I had started to consume more and more bread. And it wasn't until I had a real conversation with my doctors that, you know, my bread consumption just kind of kept going up over the last couple of years, especially during pandemic when I was eating at home and I was eating kind of a lot more pasta and soups and things that had bread content within it. And the more bread I ate, the more bread I craved, and I ate more and more and more and more of it. And so there started to become kind of a pattern once I started having that conversation with the doctor, and that led us to actually testing for a number of different things. And it eventually led to seeing the gastroenterologist, and the gastroenterologist then tested for celiac disease also after having that conversation with me, where I was very honest about the changes in my diet, about the things that made me feel less full while just greatly desiring more of it. So that's the update. That's where I'm at. I'm going to go ahead and take that picture down. So, you know, it's all positive. Things are moving forward. Obviously I'm losing weight. It's coming off. And I sprained my ankle. So just a key thing here, I sprained my ankle the second week of January. And for 2 weeks, I could barely walk. So that 10 pounds of weight loss in January included 2 weeks of being basically immobile. So I haven't been, you know, walking as much as I had been planning. I took a couple weekends off. Last weekend, my ankle started to feel better. So Whitney came up here and we rode stationary bikes at the gym at my apartment complex. So, you know, I did get in a little bit of that. I've been very active at work this week, with photo shoots and miscellaneous things. So I've been moving around a lot at work, a lot more than usual. I'm not sitting at the desk as much at work this past week, but I did continue to lose weight even within the confines of, you know, being laid up for 4 or 5 days because of the ankle and then hobbling around with a cane for a week and a half. But I got off the cane as fast as I could. I got out of the brace on my ankle as quickly as I could, tolerated some pain, never pushed it to where I would re-injure it. That's not the point, but did not want to settle into being sedentary. As soon as I could tolerate moving the foot and trying to get some flexibility back in it and keep it moving, I was able to start doing that, and it's feeling much better. Couple of days here and there where it starts to hurt more, but I try to, you know, pay attention to the level of pain. If it starts to increase, I back off and try and not push it too hard until it starts to kind of settle down a little bit. But it's going well. It's going well. And, I'm encouraged by the fact that I healed pretty quickly from a pretty bad sprained ankle. I slipped on the stairs outside my apartment in the rain. So, you know, when it's raining, be careful. You know, that's my advice. Be careful in the rain. Make sure that every step you take, you're aware of in the rain. And it's not the first time I've fallen in the rain. Year and a half ago when Mike Peterson and I went up to Los Angeles for the Silicon Beach International Film Festival for the Sweepers. not the sweepers, for the handler, we were walking out of the Grauman's Chinese Theater, the Man's Chinese Theater now. We were walking out of the Chinese Theater. It was raining hard, and I slipped and did feet over my head, flop onto my back in the rain on the wet marble up there. And it was A, very embarrassing, B, incredibly painful. So just be careful out there, guys. It's raining in California again. I don't know how much longer it'll keep raining. Hopefully it rains for a while, because Lord knows we need the rain. But when it's raining out there, be very careful, especially if you're driving. But, even when you're walking, just be aware. Just be aware of what's going on out there and be safe. As much as anything, I wish all of you the absolute best in your own personal health journeys. I'm here. If you want to reach out and chat with me a little bit about what I'm going through, if you've got something you're going through and you just need an ear, feel free to drop us a line. I'm happy to talk to you. And that's it. So tomorrow night, February 5th, the plan is to have Clark Smith join me on the podcast. Hopefully Whitney will be able to join us as well. But we're going to talk about the feature film, Mystery Highway, which is available now on various streaming platforms for rent and for purchase. I have bought it on Amazon. I believe I bought it on Apple TV as well. Mystery Highway is a kind of anthology project. It's a collection of short films that came out of Time Axis Entertainment. There is a intellectual entertainment film in there as well. Discontinuance is a part of the collection of short films, and they're all basically sci-fi based, kind of sci-fi thriller, sci-fi mystery type short films, and they're all tied together by a collection of vignettes of truckers on the road listening to a late night sci-fi radio program. And so it's kind of like each one of these short films represents the kind of mental picture that these truckers are imagining of the stories that they're listening to. It's a very cool project. It was a fun thing to put together. I helped direct the trucker scenes and helped write that part of the script as well as working on Discontinuance as a producer. And I'm very proud of Discontinuance. My buddy Diego directed that. Mike Peterson was the DP on Discontinuance. A lot of really talented people worked on it. Whitney is the star of that one as well, so she's also a star of Mystery Highway. So I hope that you'll check that out. Look for it on your streaming platforms and join us February 5th at 6 p.m. Pacific time for the live stream with Clark Smith, and where we will talk about Mystery Highway and take a look behind the scenes a little bit. And until next time, hopefully tomorrow, if you'll join us, I'm David S. Dawson. This is the Intellectual Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you again soon.
Hello there, citizens. I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the floaty that will not flush no matter how many times you try in the toilet bowl of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, telling you, please, talk hard and enjoy the mindgasm. Whatever the heck that means. After all, you are watching Intellectual Podcast with your ears.